All right, welcome back to the Odd Man Rush, our NHL podcast here at CBSSports.com. I'd like to apologize to our faithful listeners for our minor hiatus towards the end of the season and drifting into the off season, but we are back and looking forward to an exciting 2009-2010 NHL season. And we're kicking off the podcast this year by doing some divisional previews, and today we're going to start off with the Southeast Division, and we're going to get a look at some of the off-season moves, taking a look at some of the teams and some of the moves that they've made and what we like and what we don't like. So let's get the ball rolling right away. I'm joined by Wes Goldstein and Aaron Brown, as always. Wes, Aaron, welcome back to the Odd Man Rush.
Hello.
All right, so let's take a look at, the division as a whole, right? Let's take a look at last year versus this year, 2009 season versus the upcoming 2010 season. And what about the landscape has changed? We have our expert picks. Taking a look at our expert picks now, which Aaron Brown has posted on the website. And everybody's got Washington winning, so that's good. But what has happened with the division from year over year that makes you guys think about the?
I think the Southeast is basically a two-tier division. You have Washington and Carolina on one level, and then you have the other three teams, Tampa, Florida, and Atlanta on the other. And I don't think that's going to change much this season, the way it's shaping up right now. Washington is still the class of the division as far as I'm concerned. They have a great team. They probably could have gone a little further. I mean, they had a bad game 7 against Pittsburgh. But they, I think that there's a lot of talent on that team. There's still a lot of room for them to take themselves to the next level. And Carolina, the team that kind of impresses people because they are a team that does have a lot of guys with Stanley Cup experience from not too long ago. And when they're healthy, they're a dangerous team. So those two teams, I think, are really in a level by themselves within division. But the other teams, they're making changes. It's competitive. Those teams have a very intense rivalry, and they play each other. So
sure. They
can take points away from each other.
I think, like you said, it's a two-horse race. I think Washington's pretty much out in front, and Carolina is going to be the only team that, may keep up with them. I think Washington had got a couple of good off-season moves that really kind of pushed them ahead of everyone else. The only reason, I guess, for me, Carolina sticks out is that, one, they don't make a lot of changes, and usually when they kind of keep the roster intact,
right.
things work out well for them. So I think Carolina will, be competitive. I don't know that they can overtake Washington. If they get on a hot streak kind of like they did in the playoffs, it's definitely possible. As for the rest of the teams, I honestly think they're going to be competing for who's going to get the best lottery spot. I just, Florida didn't make a lot of moves, and I think Tampa Bay, they had a better offseason this year. They seemed a little bit less like they were playing a fantasy hockey game and that they were actually trying to build a team with right pieces.
Right.
I don't think Tampa will compete with Carolina and Washington, but they might have a chance to at least improve what they did last season or improve upon, but then again, they did pretty poorly. So anything's better than last year. And Atlanta, I think, same as last year. Nothing to impress me.
All right, well, let's take a look at some of those moves that these teams in the Southeast Division have made. What moves can you guys point to that you liked? What didn't you like?
I think I have to tell you that, Tampa Bay last year, it was a very tough summer. And I think because of what happened over the summer and at the beginning of the season, it really basically set the season off on the wrong foot for them, and they never recovered. It seems to me when Oren Kulas and Lynn Barry bought the team last year, they were almost like these two like young guys who bought their first nightclub. And
yeah. This
is like, let's have some fun with
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to march to our own drummer type of thing. And they did that. And I think it showed by hiring Barry Melrose, which was, kind of universally looked at as the wrong thing to do. And it turned out that way. They got rid of him after like 14, 15 games, I think it was. But the thing is, they never recovered from that. And what is happening now in Tampa Bay, I think their situation in the ownership level is stabilizing. I think it's going to be resolved. It looks like Lynn Barry will probably be out of the picture, and Oren Kulas will own the team outright. Brian Lawton is getting his feet under him as general manager. The moves they've made this summer, they've solidified some areas that they had some problems with last year. In the back end, they got Mattias Olin from Vancouver. Hedman is very highly touted. I think with a Swedish mentor there, it's going to help his development, quite honestly. Matt Walker's there. Paul Ranger, who had a good season last year. They have Mazzaros. They got Antero Nidamaki to back up Mike Smith. And they've got Alex Tangay now. They have a lot of good pieces. Rick Tocchet, you know, this is really going to be a test of Rick Tocchet's ability as coach. But I think, you know, if the things do fall in place, I think they do have a better start, a more stable start. I think this can be a very surprise team.
Yeah, again, with the defense in Tampa Bay, I think that was very key. I think last year we were talking about them quite a bit. And what was it, 20 defensemen suited up for them? You can't have a defense that's, you know, has no chemistry and you're just changing pieces out all the time.
Especially without a number one star goalie.
Right. Yeah, and I still believe that the goaltending in Tampa Bay is average, maybe subpar. Nidamaki was definitely an upgrade. Over some of the backups they had. I don't think the rookies, they're not ready. The guys that they have in the pipeline are not prepared to be a number two just yet. So Nidamaki is a good pickup for them, but I still see goaltending as a weakness for Tampa Bay. And I want to say the depth, I want to say about the third and fourth lines, I'm not, you know, too blown away by that. But, you know, when you have LeCavalier, Tangay, St. Louis, Stamkos coming at you.
And Ryan Malone,
that's right. That can be dangerous, but they just have to find a way to get the defense. Should be improved. But
I wonder, I have actually a higher regard for Mike Smith. I mean, I thought he was actually better in Dallas than Marty Turco was a couple of years ago. And he was the key piece they had to give up to get Brad Richards in Dallas. And I think Smith played well last year before he was hurt. I think the fact that he did not have a good defense in front of him or a stable defense in front of him contributed to some of the statistical numbers he has. But I thought he was very good. And I think this year with, you know, the improvement there and with perhaps a better offense that gives a team a lead and maybe a better chance to play its game rather than always playing catch up, I think it could make a difference. So again, I don't think that they're on the level yet of Washington, certainly, and maybe not even Carolina. But I think this could be a dark horse team because of the changes they've made that, you know, could be on the bubble for a playoff spot.
Yeah, I'm not counting them as a playoff team, but yes, I agree. I don't think they're going to finish where they finished last year.
All right, well, let's take a look at Washington. Again, going back to experts' picks, all four of our experts, Wes Goldstein, Aaron Brown, Mike Kirkham, and Ross Devenport, you'll notice I abstained this year.
Have Washington to come back to haunt you.
have Washington finishing atop the division. So when you look at the offseason moves that they make, yes, obviously you're trying to make sure that you stay on top of the division, but I'd have to think that the decisions that they made in the offseason are more to advance them further in the playoffs than they are to ensure themselves finishing on top of the Southeast. So do you think they've accomplished that?
Well, I think adding Mike Knubel is a really big pickup. I think it's an underrated thing. He's a hard-nosed guy. He has experience. He can score goals. He is gritty. There's a lot of things he can bring to the table.
Sure.
He's a little bit older, but again, he's been there, and that's an important thing for a young team like the Capitals. The trade-off is they lost a couple of guys, Russian players, Fedorov and Viktor Kozlov.
Yep.
They couldn't afford to sign them at what these guys wanted. They ended up back in Russia. You know, I think those guys, certainly Fedorov, served his purpose for a year and a half as kind of a mentor in some ways to Ovechkin. Not that Ovechkin needs that much. He's kind of outgoing, gregarious himself, and he shows on the ice what he can do. But the idea of helping him, Semin, and even Varlamov last year, who's going to probably be the number one goalie, adapt was a big thing for Fedorov. But again, in terms of what they lose in terms of on the ice, I don't think that's going to be that significant. And I think having a guy like Knubel is going to make a big difference. This team is very, very close. And I still think back to the Game 7 against Pittsburgh in that series. Ovechkin had a breakaway early in the game when it was 0-0. Had he scored, the complexion would have been completely different.
Yeah, and if there's one team that can stand to have an older veteran player come in, it's Washington. You know, it's not like this is a team that's already, you know, filled with some 35-plus guys that are lacking in speed. And, you know, they have youth, they have speed. They have a lot of different versatility throughout their lineup. So if there was one team that could have an older veteran player come in, that's obviously still productive,
right?
It's Washington.
And he's North American, too. I think that's, you know, you look at the difference, and there's still a difference between a European player and a North American player. And I think come playoff time, those are the kind of – some of those players, certainly. I mean, you want the skill of the European players, and the Caps have a lot of it. So there's no you know, denying that. But I think a guy like Knubel, with his background, it gives him an element they didn't have before that could be very valuable.
Right.
I was going to say, the reason I liked that move was it brought a physical guy in. And I think that's one thing that, you know, showed itself, that they needed that kind of player. I mean, you know, like you say, with the Europeans and the North Americans, yeah, there is a difference. And the Caps last year were, you know, pretty much a European team. So to have that size up front, if they end up sticking him on the first line with Ovechkin, I think that's going to be great. Maybe it opens up some room for him. And, you know, God only knows if he gets more room, what he's going to be able to do with it. So
maybe Ovechkin will open up room for Knubel.
You get
it from both sides.
But I mean, the fact that now you, because Ovechkin, I mean, he is a physical player,
right.
But the fact that you take that away from him, you say you don't need to do this now. It might just, I mean, he might, you know, break some personal bests or whatever. But, you know, I think that was a huge move. As far as Varlamov, who now has a interesting new spelling to his name.
Right. After all the confusion of the pronunciation of his last name, now we have a new spelling for his first name.
Yes.
Semyon, right?
I don't even know. When we get the pronunciation guide, we'll know. But it's now spelled differently. But actually, I was reading that Boudreau had said he's going to go in with Theodore as the number one, which I thought was kind of interesting because, you know, given the playoff run from Varlamov last year, I was surprised that they, you know, didn't give him the nod. But then again, I believe Theodore's in the last year of his contract.
Right.
You know, maybe I think when he was in Colorado the last year of his contract, he did okay.
Yes, yeah,
So, you know, play
players,
off that.
Players tend to do well.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing.
It's an amazing motivating factor, but the thing is about Boudreau, he didn't say how long he does that.
It
could be for opening night on the road.
I do. I agree. And that was actually something, you know, when you check out our you know, season preview on the site, that's a question I ask is who's going to get more starts this year? We have a poll up for that. So, you know, it is curious to see what he is going to do with the goaltending situation. But in a way, it's kind of a win-win because he's got, you know, the future goaltender to work with. And he's also got, like we just said, a guy in his contract year who tends to do well in contract years.
Right.
So that could be a real benefit. You know, even if it's something where, you know, Theodore has a great year and ends up leaving, you know, they almost don't care because they've got, you know, Varlamov in the pipeline.
Right.
So,
well, one question that I have I want to put to the both of you, and while we're on the topic of transactions and trades and signings, is Ilya Kovalchuk in Atlanta. Obviously, we don't want to leave Atlanta out. We spent a good portion of last year discussing the woes going on with the Atlanta franchise. And their franchise player, Ilya Kovalchuk, may or may not be back, you know, for a very lengthy stay in that sweater. So my question to you, as I'm sure we will discuss this several times throughout the year, so let's kind of get the ball rolling now, is do you think at the end of June when this season is over – that he will be signed under an Atlanta Thrasher contract?
You know, it's hard to predict what happened. You know, at this point in time, I would think not. I think Kovalchuk basically has been a good soldier. They drafted
right.
him first overall. Mm-hmm. He's been a franchise player. He hasn't had really the kind of rights that, you know, he hasn't had the opportunity to leave unencumbered throughout his career. This will be his first chance. And players who get that chance tend to want to take advantage of it in terms of money.
Sure.
But
mm-hmm.
Kovalchuk probably could get the money he wants in Atlanta, although given their kind of strange ownership situation, they're still basically, they've been going through 4 years of fighting through the courts, and they really haven't gotten any further than when they started. So that could be an issue, but I think Kovalchuk is frustrated at losing, let's face it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the team has been to the playoffs once. They got swept in the first round of a series. And, you know, you play before empty houses almost every or
right.
very, you know, sparse crowd. So it's not a very good environment. But, you know, sometimes players do feel loyalties to teams. And if the Thrashers look better, if they look like a legitimate playoff contender, who knows, maybe they will get him to sign. I don't see them, you know, I think to have him signed early, they would have to have a great, great start, be a serious playoff contention maybe in January by time the season breaks, and maybe have him on the emotional high of winning a gold medal at Vancouver for Russia,
mm-hmm.
he'll come back and, okay, fine, we're going well. But otherwise, I think he's really looking to test the free agent market.
But it's funny because the gold medal could actually work against them because he might have the taste of winning and say, I like this and I want to get the heck out of Atlanta.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And,
I'm saying
more people might, you know, get a look at him and become a little bit more aware.
Yeah, everybody knows who he is. I mean, well, that's not the issue.
Not general managers, but, you know, fans and
right,
and
but my point is
the public, like, not in Atlanta.
The Thrashers would have to have a good start, enough of a start to encourage him that we are heading the right direction. Remember, sure. He was actually involved in getting Antropov to sign with them this summer. Mm-hmm. They played together in the Russian League a couple of years ago. He likes, you know, he likes a big center. They kind of click there. So he told them about Atlanta, and Antropov signed there. So, you know, and they signed Pavel Kabino. So, mm-hmm. you know, maybe they are doing some things that are going to move them in the right direction. They had some good players last year. Brian Little is a great young player. Bogosian's coming back this year.
Peverly was
a great pickup. Tobias Enstrom. So, you know, the thing is, you know, we always talk about goaltending. Is Kari Lehtinen going to be a good goalie this year? Or is Pavel...
I was just going to say...
At least every other night.
Well, maybe. Or every third or fourth night. Or once, right. you know, once every... Whatever it is. But, you know, the thing is, I think Kovalchuk, players like the idea, to some extent, of staying with one organization. But, again, like 7 years of losing, that's frustrating. Yeah. So, depending really... You know, like everybody else is basing their Olympic picks on what happens in the first 3 months of the season. I think the first 3 months of the season in Kovalchuk's mind goes a long way to deciding toward his future.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah. All right, so one last thing as we look on the Southeast Division. Let's take a look at Washington again, but I don't want to take it from the standpoint of Washington. I want to take a look at the standpoint of the other teams in the division. Seemingly, Washington has the foothold towards winning the division, but who can challenge them? What do the teams have to do in order to seriously contend for the division title this year? And you can go one by one running through the division. Let's start with Florida since we haven't talked about them too much. What do they have to do this year, either to contend for the division title or just to contend for a playoff spot this year?
Oh, you took my line.
Sorry.
Well, see, Atlanta, we're equal opportunity people here.
I think Florida, you know, the division, I don't think is a realistic goal for them at this point. A playoff spot, maybe. I mean, they were close enough last year. But the thing is, last year, their issue was their offense. And I don't think their offense is any better right now than it was at the end of last season. So I don't see that changing very much for them. But yeah, prayer is always good.
Well, they really need everything to go right. I mean, they can't have injuries. They need the guys that they're considering their core. They need the guys like Booth. Booth had, a 30 goal season last year. Mm-hmm. You know, they almost have to ask 40 out of him this year. They need Weiss who had a career year last year. They need him to keep improving. They need Horton to wake up and start being the scorer they've always projected
him
to be. They need, you know, some of these rookies that they've been touting for a while to come in and not necessarily have, you know, rookie of the year seasons, but good enough to, you know, be noticed. Michael Frolik has to have a great sophomore year. They need to I'm not actually worried about the defense for them. I think that they're returning Brian Allen. They got Jordan Leopold. I think that there's a lot of balance with the defense. And goaltending, they're going to have a 1-1A situation, but they need everything to work out perfectly.
You think it's going to be 1A?
I think so. Really? Yeah, I think they're.
Well, Vokoun, I think, has shown in the recent past that his teams warrant a 1A.
Yeah,
perhaps. Okay, I'll give you that. Certainly during his time in Florida.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. All right. So let's move on up, stay in the state, and go over to Tampa Bay. We've highlighted some of the issues and positives and negatives going on in Tampa Bay, but what do they have to do? I mean, is it just strictly honing things in, defense and goaltending? I mean, if they nail that, if they have, whether it's system or whether it's personnel that show up and give the team a positive defensive outlook night in, game in, game out, does that really give them a legitimate shot?
I for the division, no, but for, I would say, a playoff spot anywhere 5-8, yes.
Right.
I think that was a huge problem for them last year was the defense. I mean, you can always look at, you know, the guys offensively. You know, Le Cavalier is going to score. You know, St. Louis is going to score.
Sure.
And they're going to, you know, spread the wealth as well. So
exactly.
To, if those guys, I don't think there's any concern over. If the defense can be stable, then I think that rubs off to their goaltending situation, and I think that they become a surprise team. And that's another thing I think they have to work on is, you know, they have to almost take advantage of that. Well, they were not so great last year. There aren't expectations from opponents, but they come out and they, you know, play teams again, just to, you know, they surprise them with the way they're playing. So I think that's key.
And again, as Wes pointed to earlier, we'll kind of get a greater sense of what Rick Tocchet really has to offer as far as being a head coach. All right, we touched on Atlanta enough. I don't think we need to kind of go back over that. So let's move on to Carolina, which most of you have falling in second place in the division, Ross Devenport being the only person to slide them down to third. But either way, it seems like they have the greatest potential. And again, as Aaron pointed out earlier, the less things change in Carolina, the better off they seem to be, whereas they're better just filling in gaps as opposed to roster overhauls. And it seems like that was the case for them this offseason.
Yeah, I think with Carolina, the way I always look at them is that while Eric Staal I would consider like an A player, they have a lot of B-plus type players.
Sure, absolutely.
They don't need the star power like, you know, Tampa does have Lecavalier and St. Louis.
Right.
They've got their one guy, but the rest of the guys they have, you know, the scoring could really come from anywhere. I mean, you go, Ray Whitney's led the team in scoring two out of the last 3 years, and of course you have Staal. Eric Cole's there. Jussi Jokinen, Samsonov. There's a lot of balance in that lineup, and I think that is, as long as they keep that balance and keep the contributions coming and get a very strong year from Cam Ward the way he was playing in the playoffs last year,
Sure.
I think that allows them to contend for a division.
Which seems to be his time of year.
Yeah.
The postseason. Yeah. All right, so what does Washington now have to do in order to give these teams a chance? What's their weakness? What's the thing that if this falters, it'll allow a team, say, like Carolina, to creep up and catch them?
Well, I think Washington is always vulnerable defensively the way they play the game because their game is all about scoring. Their game is always about attacking,
right,
moving the puck
right
forward. And, you know, their best defenseman, the Norris candidate, Mike Green, really mm-hmm, he's more of a rover and a fourth forward than he is a defenseman. I think that's one of his drawbacks when they talk about what's happening in Team Canada. It's one of the mm-hmm reasons he's a bubble defenseman despite the numbers he put in.
Sure.
He put up. So I think defensively they take chances and it's risky. And again, depends who's in that, whether it's Theodore or Varlamov. Varlamov had a great run as a rookie. There's an adrenaline rush that what he's going through in this charge. Settling in over the course of a long season, you know, night after night, absolutely. So, you know, there could be games that they lose, they might win, and that might close the gap, between them and, let's say, Carolina or even Tampa Bay maybe. So that, I think, is their biggest risk.
Right. And to that point, you just look no further than the last playoffs mm-hmm when if they don't get that offense going, they're not going to win. I mean, they might not lose by a large amount, but if they're not putting the puck behind the goalie at a consistent basis, they're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Right, mm-hmm, they're a run and gun team, and that leaves them vulnerable at times.
All right, so that's going to wrap it up for the Southeast Division Preview 2009-2010 season. I'd like to thank Aaron Brown and Wes Goldstein, and you can catch more preview information on CBSSports.com. Off of our NHL arena at cbssports.com/NHL.